Hello and welcome to Teaching, Learning, and Everything Else, a series of conversations with innovative educators at colleges and universities across the country. I'm Elizabeth Yost-Hammer, Director of the Center for the Advancement of Teaching at Xavier University of Louisiana. And now, let's talk about teaching, learning, and everything else. Hello, today I'm talking to Dr. Dave Park, who teaches mass communications here at Xavier University of Louisiana. His research interests include new media technologies within the music industry, and his recent book is titled Conglomerate Rock, The Music Industry's Quest to Divide Music. He regularly teaches courses such as Principles of Public Relations and Public Relations Campaigns. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. What I want to talk to you about today is primarily your use of service learning in classes, especially post-Katrina. You are known on campus for your innovative use of service learning. And for those listeners who don't know, service learning is a teaching strategy where you use community service to enhance instruction and student learning. Before we get into, though, your class and the assignments you use, I feel we need to set the context for people. You've been here before and after Katrina, and so I wondered if you would start by just sharing your Katrina experience.
Well, sure. I mean, Katrina experiences are always personal and long-winded and usually end up kind of sad. But I think in my case, it really energized me to come back to the city and fight and rebuild. So you can use that energy and at times anger and put it towards something positive. New Orleans is, ranks the lowest in terms of healthcare out of the 50 states, or, rank 49th or 50th. There's issues with education here, a colonial history. So there's a lot of work to be done. There's poverty, health discrepancies. And then you throw in a hurricane, which wasn't really the cause of the problems. It was the levees, right? They're funded by the government. So they breached and made the city even more of a toxic cocktail of sorts. That experience perhaps maybe energized a lot of people, and things are changing in a positive way right now.
And I wonder if you'd comment on the university. I wasn't here at Xavier, before Katrina, so I wonder if you could talk about the university's experience and the students' experience and how that fed into your teaching.
Xavier was under, 5 feet of water, and, the experience, immediately after Katrina was they actually rebuilt a lot of the university, had up and running 4 months right after the disaster. And so when we came back, I came back, in October, first time, and biked around the city, went down to the lower Ninth Ward, the upper Ninth Ward, and just saw the destruction. And at that time, it was basically a military state, some checkpoints here and there. And the only representation, or the only, there wasn't any government presence anywhere except for the military here and there. The only presence in the Ninth Ward was a small nonprofit group called Common Ground. So I stopped in and I said, listen, I'm a professor. I teach at Xavier University. We do media courses. How can we help? What can I do to help? And they said, we need volunteers. People need their houses gutted. They need debris removed and so forth. And Common Ground, what I learned, was started by two people that came to New Orleans. I think they're both originally from Louisiana, with $50. And set up camp, had a large presence. And so we worked together with community interests to bring in volunteers at that time. So I changed my classes to do a national media campaign with the help and direction of the community and Common Ground. We created news releases, articles, radio PSAs, coordinated with different universities, different groups, church groups, fraternities, sororities, everything, anyone. And we sent it out, and volunteers started coming. They came and they helped out, and what we thought then was, is that good enough? Okay, we can get some volunteers. Let's see if we can do something to spark interest again. So the volunteers that came, we gave them kind of a goodbye thank you packet, which consisted of ways of how to contact their local media and continue the issue in the media, right? So call once after you volunteered, return to your hometown, call the local newspaper or TV station. I'm sure they might be interested in interviewing you, and raise more awareness about the needs in New Orleans post-Katrina.
So let me be sure that I got that right. So what you actually did then was use student volunteers, you know, in your class to actually get more volunteers.
Right. Our class at that time, I think, was teaching a PR campaigns class. So we could either write or make a campaign, a fake campaign that, you know, may or may not do anything, or we can do an actual campaign for a good cause and for the needs of the community. So we oriented the entire class to doing this national campaign to bring in volunteers, contacting the media, right, getting awareness of the needs in throughout the city of New Orleans.
What could you back up a little bit to give me, because I'm not in communications, like what were your student objectives or learning outcomes that you're trying to get, you know, students to achieve as part of this class?
Sure. Well, because it's a PR campaigns class, you know, you learn some background or history or theory that would guide a certain campaign. So we look at different theories. Then the field of mass communication is interesting. It can go in many different ways. Some ways are strict social sciences, research-oriented, quantitative, qualitative. Other programs are more professional, skills-oriented. A lot of programs walk both sides of the fence. They do a mixture of both, as we do at Xavier. So this particular class has some theory, but also does practical, professional skills, so writing skills to make students familiar with, in this case, public relations writing styles. So in the field of public relations, people write media alerts, newspaper articles, news releases, radio PSAs, and so forth. So that's what we did. We designed the campaign. So there's one aspect with the practical skills, I guess, that they would learn with or without service learning. But why waste your time on doing something that is fictional, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing something practical, led by the community, which we continue to do 3 years after Katrina. And
still with Common Ground? Are you still working with Common Ground?
Right now we're working with Common Ground again, yeah.
Okay.
And we can talk about what we're doing this semester
okay.
in a little bit. But I think with service learning, the goal is to cultivate empathy, understanding, and civic engagement, right? Especially with a media system. The students spend more time in front of the media than in school a lot of times, right? And the media often treat people as passive consumers of information. And what we want to do is cultivate an active citizen, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's where service learning can fit in. Students can be involved with the community, participate. If it's done well, hopefully they can earn a sense of empowerment and as change agents in society. So that's, I guess that's the secondary goal of using service learning, in at least the way I do in my classes.
Okay, and how, how do you see it as differing just from volunteerism or community service or something that students could get extracurricularly?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I guess it all depends on the program, because here we're in an academic setting. In many ways, the students are here, they're looking for guidance, they're learning new things, and if you can normalize this within institutions, it may be more powerful in terms of inspiring or having the students remember this once they go on to a different position after they graduate into graduate school, they go on into a job sector or wherever they go. So you know, volunteering, they're not, they may or may not get credit for volunteering. It depends if students are volunteering or not. So I think there's some overlap there, without a doubt.
Okay, okay. And are most of the students that are, you're doing this with, are most of them communications majors?
Well, the students in the class, yeah, they're all communications majors.
Okay. Had you done this, so you may make a very good argument for, you know, using this pedagogy, and I've used service learning too, and just think it's a great, just experiential learning, active learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it brings it to life for students. It does so many things. Did you do it before, Katrina?
Yes. I think for a year or two before Katrina, I'd been involved in a number of different service learning projects. Some of them smaller, well, most of them smaller than this campaign. I mean, it right after Katrina, in some ways, we were the first responders, you know, of helping bringing in volunteers. But before, yeah, we've worked in different neighborhoods right next to where the university located is, a neighborhood with lower socioeconomic status, and we've worked with after-school programs. I think this was 5 years ago, so if my memory isn't 100% correct. A community center, where else? I think there was some kind of retirement center that needed help and donations. So we built websites for them, went over. And it's interesting just to observe the students. Here's, you know, three blocks away from the university. They'd never crossed a certain street. And, you know, they didn't know how groups or different groups lived or what their problems were or the issues that faced them. So, you know, it's interesting. You observe slight, small things from students. They're saying, wow, you know, I didn't know that these are problems here, or I've never seen this before.
Hmm.
And, you know, our society, and especially our media, are dividing people along race, class, you know, gender, et cetera, for consuming different products. I mean, the advertisers fund television, and the television shows are vehicles geared towards specific segments of society so people can advertise products.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we need to resist that to a certain extent, and one way is by going into different communities, talking to different people, finding what their issues are, and that's what cultivates empathy, understanding, and in some cases, empowerment as change agents.
I wonder if that leads me to what I want to ask, which is, what are some of the reactions of your students? You know, what have some of the reactions been? You know, in addition to, I didn't know this neighborhood existed right next to campus, what are some other reactions, both positive and negative, that you've gotten from students about these, you know, assignments?
Right. Well, I think that one was just going in the two comments that have always stayed in my mind. One was, wow, you know, I didn't know people lived like this. And the other one was when we finished our campaign right after Katrina, and we brought in a couple thousand people, and the students actually saw, because, you know, 1,000 people would mean maybe $100,000 worth of free labor to a neighborhood in need, right? So if you bring in people, there's a certain economic component of that, and it assists people. One student said, wow, you know, everyone says students are the future, but now I feel as if I'm actually directing it, or I'm actually doing something. And that's hard to cultivate. I mean, I think universities and teachers and professors have been trying to do that for centuries. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, this project, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not taking credit for it. I will say, you know, the neighborhood and the Lower Ninth Ward and the community center and, you know, everybody worked together on it.
Well, my background is in psychology, and so I also have to wonder if it was something about the immediacy of the disaster and really contributing, you know, post-disaster and to the recovery, you know, that could have made it so powerful as well.
Certainly. Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of components, and we'll find out now if the immediacy right after the disaster, and if psychology does play a part. You know, you can look at its projects several years afterwards,
mm-hmm.
and, well, can we sustain this feeling of empowerment as a change agent or not? And I think this semester we're again working with Common Ground on two projects. One, we're trying, we'll see if it works. I'll find out. One, we're trying to save the second oldest African-American church in New Orleans and the eighth oldest in the United States. It's the Wesley United Methodist Church.
Mm.
And this is interesting because it's historically relevant. This was a hotbed of anti-slavery abolitionist organizing. It was a meeting place for strategists fighting Jim Crow segregation and discrimination. It participated in the struggle for civil rights. It was built, the bricks were built by slaves. And, you know, this is a very important part of history. And if it's gone, then the memory gone is memory leaves, right? So it's the politics of memory. It's the same reason why Congo Square in New Orleans, people still call it Congo Square, even though the official name is Louis Armstrong Park, right? Because Congo Square is where it keeps the legacy, or not necessarily the legacy, but just the memory alive of what it was used for.
Mm-hmm. Have you found, and so it's that, you know, you said you're working on it this semester. Have you found differences in student reactions to this semester versus the semester right after Katrina versus pre-Katrina, like student experiences?
You know, each semester is different, as we all know, different students, different classes, different years. But honestly, I haven't found that much of a difference. They seem fairly consistent. But what I've found is it's more effective to use service learning when you go to the site and you meet the people first. You want to go there, right there, see the destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Go to this church and get the history. Look at it. Find out the 400 people used to be there every week.
Mm-hmm.
Know the history, find out what the implications are for when it's gone, and hopefully that can inspire people.
What about for you personally? Have your reactions changed over time of doing it, and then, you know, given Katrina's role in it?
I guess they're essentially the same, but maybe even stronger now. For me, the reaction is, hey, this is exciting. This is invigorating. We're in the field. We're connecting the university with real problems, real issues. We're extending the knowledge in partnership with the community. So to me, that's wonderful. That's exciting. And a lot of it goes back to my background as well. I used to work a little bit in international, quote-unquote, development in West Africa for a year.
Mm.
So, you know, there I learned a lot, and how a lot of development projects can fail for a number of reasons. And also, you know, maybe the West needs development from Africa of a different sort. You know, there's a lot of interesting things that one can learn. But what I took from that was that, you know, we can be active agents and work from a grassroots level and make small changes, you know, small things, but small things add up through the years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know that when people, faculty, talk about service learning, there's the student, there's the faculty member, and then there's also the community partner, which is a full partner in this, you know, learning experience. So I'll ask the same question about Common Ground. Have you noticed a change in that organization from when you first, you know, ran into them and got started to now? Their needs changed or anything like that?
Yes, definitely, without a doubt. I mean, at first they were a disaster relief organization, and they fought a lot of battles. Very interesting, and they're wonderful people. Their heart's in the right place. It's just been an honor and a pleasure, and I've learned a lot from working with them. But it's changed. Now they're trying to get more sustainable projects, right? The immediate need right after this government disaster is sustaining things, healthcare clinics, community centers, churches, you know, in this particular case, of historic nature. We're also, again, we're not only working with the church, we're also working with the Lower Ninth Ward Village Community Center. You know, this disaster, I think, changed a lot of people, and one of the guys down there started up a Lower Ninth Ward Village Community Center, and there they plan on turning it into a residential meeting space, a computer classroom, a commercial kitchen for training in the culinary arts, an on-site cafe, library, gym, after-school tutoring, recording studio, art studio. And they're making progress on it. We were just there last week.
Mm.
But Again, that's what we're doing again, a similar type of campaign to raise awareness and hopefully raise some money so people can donate to this place in the Lower Ninth Ward.
Okay. To the community center and then to the church, it's a similar?
Correct, yep.
And what's Common Ground's role in that? Are they just...
Well, Common Ground, I think, is there in charge of the church right now.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
So they're fixing up, they're trying to replace it. The fix it, I guess, is the main thing it's about to collapse.
Okay.
And they worked out a deal where I think they're leasing it and they're trying to fix it for the community. So the community said, we want this church, it's got historical roots, we want this back, no one else is working, Common Ground is there to try to help that. And I think with Lower Ninth Village Community Center, that's a partnership or something that they're. I'm not exactly sure the details, but that's Common Ground wanted us to work with the Lower Ninth Ward Village Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're looking at community needs first and foremost, and hooking us up in that case.
Wow. In your classes, just to shift to be a little pragmatic for a minute, in your classes. Do you require all your students to do, since I guess there's an end product, this campaign, do you require all the students to engage in service learning?
Yes.
Okay, so it's just part of the class.
Yep.
Do they know that in advance?
Maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe, I think word travels that, okay, you're going to take this class, you'll be doing some of this stuff.
Your reputation's out there.
For better or for worse, yeah.
What do you get any negative reactions from students, and if so, what are some of the negatives?
Well, anything dealing with humans is not always predictable, but sometimes it's the project, and I'll give one case in particular. We were working again with Common Ground on the West Bank. In the, I think it was the Woodlands housing community, which they had taken over, and they were running it. So they're converting things, getting feeding children in the morning, getting a computer lab, stuff like that, helping folks clean it up, so forth. But they're also doing an alternative crime prevention campaign through positive things, because again, there's some crime. Times is dangerous, and so they want to sort of, work for a positive angle. So we helped them organize Community Unity Days, and that was an event kind of in the middle of this housing area where there'd be music, there'd be family things for kids, there'd be free food to bring people together, so forth. And I think a couple times we were there, and it wasn't that effective. We're looking up, a lot of people on the balconies looking down, like, not participating.
Hmm.
Although it may have gotten better. I think we're only there a few times because of the semester and so forth. But then eventually the city, or they sold it, or they didn't want this massive housing thing around, so that put even more people homeless.
Hmm.
Sometimes it's like, maybe this wasn't as effective as we wanted it to be, although maybe it's something that long-term could make a difference. And so some of the students are like, I don't think we're going to do anything here.
Mm.
We're not going to really make a difference, and this is wishful thinking. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. At the same time, though, other students, you can see it's an eye-opening experience. It's something, it's a whole different culture than what the students are from or what they're used to, most of the students. And in some ways, service learning can create a memory and at least normalize something.
Yeah.
Right? Because not everybody does service learning.
Yeah.
And it can normalize this notion that people can be change agents.
Yeah, I think one of the beauties of service learning to me is it is also its downfall, that get students outside of the classroom so that control shifts to them and to the community, and it makes it real life. But that's also scary, too, when the control shifts away and so it's real life. So, yeah, if a community site doesn't work out, that can be problematic.
Yeah, and we've worked with other groups, too, besides Common Ground. Sometimes you show up, they're not there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're supposed to come and help out. And New Orleans is a whole different time, way of existing and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're doing service learning, you have to be flexible and you have to have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it depends on where you are. But, yeah, that's something that people need to be aware of.
But do you, but and here's another kind of practical question. What, how much time do you think that this takes for you, you know, in terms of prepping for this, facilitating this, making sure students get a good experience, keeping, you know, doing service learning with integrity? How much time does it take?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think universities should invest more. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of planning, a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of extra work. I think it pays off because it's a different kind of education, and it's an important kind of education. It's something that's often been overlooked. But unfortunately, it's not taken as seriously, I think, in institutions as perhaps it should be. But, yes, it, in short, question is, yeah, it takes time. A lot of extra time.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of answer the second part, which is, I mean, obviously you think it's worth it, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's just for a couple people that, but I think it's more than just a couple people. It's the ones that, you know, say something that we always remember.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have any other, like, pitfalls or problems you would like to point out that you've, or lessons from your experience?
Just that, you know, it's constantly changing. Always have a plan B. It's a lot more work for teachers, but after a while, you can focus your assignments and how you do things. So it may not. You can streamline certain things, and you know, like in our case, so when we first did the campaign, we were the contacts. So we sent this out, sending out hundreds of news releases and articles around the country saying, hey, we need help in New Orleans, and here's why, and blah, 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 who's you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then suddenly they'd be calling back the students, and they'd be calling me, and we have to organize groups of buses and coming down. I mean, it's insane. It's a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
So then you learn by experience. So next time, okay, make sure the organization you're working with, there's a contact person, they're reliable, they're going to answer the phone, and that they can handle busloads of people coming in, housing them, feeding them. If they need medication, you know, it's just, it's a massive undertaking in the legalities of the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that the service learning, if there is something like that on campus, or that there's a clear legal policy. Who's responsible if a student gets injured during your class at a site? Is the professor responsible for that? Is the university, right? So that's something that I think people interested in this at institutions need to work out with the administration.
And what is the situation in your case?
We don't know, and we've been trying to push forward with a clear written statement.
Okay.
And as it stands, nobody knows.
Okay.
Which is, I guess, scary.
Yeah, it says something too. Something to pursue for sure. I guess as a last question here, you mentioned the getting over 1,000 volunteers and the is a measure of success of, you know, your previous project. What's going to be the measure of success for what you're doing this semester? What do you hope to do?
Three things. Obviously, is for the students is instilling a spirit of optimism, of empathy, and civic engagement, and, you know, indicating that, guess what, you guys can be change agents, you can be leaders, and your actions can actually affect the world in a positive way. You know, that's a service learning component. Then there's the course objectives, understanding theory and background and history, and then practical media skills that can be used for good causes. But last is improving the community, and in our case, directing money to, we're able to make websites, we're also making websites. I think Lower Ninth Ward Community Center already has a website, but the Wesley United Methodist Church doesn't. So we'll make a website where people can donate money. And in this case, how effective, we may not know, because of media cycles, you send out tons of articles, news releases, and so forth. Maybe they'll be published, maybe they won't. Maybe they send out 200, 5 will be published. Maybe 8 people will donate $10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You don't. If that's the case, hey, that's not bad. Or you may get a couple thousand, or it'll hit big. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, how successful our campaign be, we'll have to measure it monetarily.
And do you have a way to get that information back to the students so that they can know what they did?
Well, sometimes they're graduated or they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They graduate. But, yeah, I mean, that's something. I mean, sometimes we're so busy that the next campaign goes up next semester. But usually we're in touch, and I try to get back and find out and tell the students. Yeah.
Very nice.
But, you know, I do think if people are interested in doing service learning, they should go grassroots, right? Go bottom up, go where the pain is, follow where the money is not located.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of following the money, follow where the money is not located, right? Especially New Orleans, people are in need a lot of help. And let the community direct service learning to a certain extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they may want to work with smaller organizations. In New Orleans right now, it's really a neoconservative economic experiment, right? They privatized most of public education, public housing, public health care. And if anyone hasn't read Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein, please read it. It's an excellent book, and it kind of lays out a blueprint of what happens during these disasters and when they switch the economic system. So we're seeing an increase of homelessness, et cetera. So, and a lot of people around the country are viewing New Orleans as a battle for what can happen in their city in the future, that this sort of system can and may eventually spread throughout the United States. So there's still help. There's still a need here. And why not do a service learning project and help New Orleans?
Very good. Very good. Very good. Well, I would like to say thank you to you for all that you've done. I mean, think of all the benefits that the students, you know, that the students really have gained in the community, and you've led that charge. So thank you for doing that. And, Dave, I enjoyed talking to you today.
Well, thank you. It was a wonderful experience for having me on the show. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thanks for your time, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this installment of Teaching, Learning, and Everything Else. For more information, please visit our website at cat.xula.edu. That's cat.xula.edu. Until next time, this is Elizabeth Yost-Hammer.